We're not even on. Only half the people were hearing us. I knew that was going to happen. I've been on a streak where that hasn't happened to us. In my defense, it's not even 7 in the morning, okay?
Yeah, there is that.
A lot of these newer things that we're having to do around here. So I'm guessing that basically nobody heard what we were just talking about. So I did want to congratulate everybody on a wonderful Halloween. It seemed really good. Seemed like a lot of fun.
Awesome, amazing Halloween.
I have to share, because Melissa, you were saying that you didn't really get to do much or anything like that as far as handing stuff out or anything. I did get to hand stuff out because my mom and dad were in Madison celebrating Halloween with my sister and her nephews.
Oh, how nice for them.
Or their nephews. it was great. It was a lot of fun. Mm. I wasn't sure, though, because a lot of the houses had, like, one of the houses had music out and another one had a guy out and everything, and as it got darker, my parents' light wouldn't come on because it's a motion light. So I was trying to, you know, there was one group of kids that kept moving. And I got all this candy. I want to give them the candy and stuff. I want to see costumes.
But you don't want to be that guy that's like, hey, little kid.
Exactly.
Candy for
exactly.
you.
I was like seconds close to just open up the door, just yelling out, hey, kids, I got candy.
I'm not creepy. I promise.
Safe. It's safe over here because that always works. If you yell safe, who's not going to feel safer? Who's? I really hope everybody had a wonderful Halloween, safe, wonderful Halloween out there. As we gear up and get ready for November, Melissa and James here with you, 7:17 on the clock. Just wanted to touch on this story really quick. I wasn't sure if I heard it in your news or not, Melissa. I know that I heard it sparingly in the news because this came out on the 27th last month. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a story that should be talked about and should be noticed.
Absolutely.
It comes from Wisconsin Public Radio, and a shout out to Danielle Kadling, who does some fantastic reporting over there. The Wisconsin Natural Resources Board approved the remaining portion of the state's largest land conservation effort in state history. Mm. The board signed off on a $15.5 million conservation estimate for more than 56,000 acres in northern Wisconsin on Wednesday. Or last Wednesday, this would have been. The property located east of Rhinelander is known as Pelican River Forest. The Conservation Fund, a national environmental conservation group, bought 70,000 acres of private forest land last year to preserve it for recreational use and logging. Hmm. The Department of Natural Resources has been working with the group to secure easements for the site. The board already approved a nearly $4.7 million easement on 12,500 acres within the forest last year. The two easements combined mean the project now surpasses the 65,800-acre Brule St. Croix Legacy Forest that was set aside for conservation in 2015, becoming the state's largest land acquisition for public access.
Nice.
The Conservation Fund will oversee the property with certification from the Forest Stewardship Council to ensure management meets environmental standards.
Hmm.
Just, first off, I got to get that area. I got to check that out. It's just so beautiful up there.
Wow.
It's one of those areas I've always wanted to look at.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly, I need me to ramble about how important this is and how far this goes and for our future, for our, not even really, nothing personal, but not about our future, Melissa, as much as it about the kids, the generations below us and everything's
future. Futures to come, yes.
It's just really impressive. There is so much more to consider, to read about in this article, that I'm not going to, sit here and turn this into books on tape on everybody. But
we'll sum it up.
Books
trees,
on radio.
Water, wildlife.
Right on. Nicely done. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah. All important things, all wonderful things, and all,
necessary for our future.
Yeah. We'll take a break right here. A little bit later, we'll have our fourth, five things to look forward to in November. We will also get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Melissa gets to pull the October winner today. Woo-hoo. And in 9 o'clock hour, good stories, then ain't right stories. And coming up, of course, is our National Day of Calendar here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:22 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this November 1st. 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at what there's always some stuff about November too. It's National Novel Writing Month.
Ooh.
That novel that you've been putting off and putting off and putting off.
Now's the time.
James.
The month has arrived.
I really actually should get on that. I really, really should.
Yeah.
It actually is a really good reminder of that. That's good. And especially, I think that's really cool for anybody who has ever wanted to write and just needs a little incentive. Get to it. Now's a great time to. It's National Pomegranate Month. Pomegranate Month, yes.
I've never eaten a pomegranate. Have you?
Yeah, a long time ago, though. And I remember thinking it's not a cranberry. it's not as good as a cranberry. I believe that's if I remember correctly.
Well, I just always found it weird that you eat the seeds. I mean, you don't actually eat the seeds. You eat the stuff around the seeds, and then you spit out the seeds, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Seems like a lot of work.
Mm.
But pomegranate-flavored things are good and fun and...
There's a lot of health benefits to them, so
yes.
We see them in all kinds of things, and for a while now. And it's Manatee Awareness Month.
Mm.
The manatee is a glorious creature, peaceful and patient, happily grazing on the broad variety of foods that exist within the aquatic home. There are a popular and well-loved feature of the places they inhabit, serving as a sort of mascot for visitors and serving as a great draw for tourists. However, manatees aren't the only creatures that love and adore the water, and they often find themselves in danger from their human fans. Unable to move out of the way of speedboats, manatee awareness reminds us that we aren't the only creature in our watery places, play spaces.
Yeah.
I am a Pisces. I love swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I love being out in the water. I don't know. There's just not much I don't mind. I like swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Skiing, anything. I like driving boats. I like speed boats. I like all these things. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. Doesn't matter one second what I like or what you know any of this if it's affecting the animal kingdom in some way or another.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of hard to avoid that, James, in general. But there are ways to mitigate
this level,
the impact.
I suppose.
Yes.
Being more detailed about it, I should. If it's affecting wildlife, it's not worth it. If it's affecting wildlife, it's not worth it. If it's in, if it's polluting our oceans or our lakes or any of this, how many times do we have to learn this lesson? It don't matter who I have in a morning magazine. Who I got today? I got Miss Wisconsin Rabbits Pageant contestants and the Southwood County YMCA. Two subjects that have nothing to do with water quality. We could spend the whole time talking about water quality. I mean, these things are important. And
across the board.
It seems ridiculous that we got to keep focusing on this when it's the one of those few things that you think we'd all get along on and all work to do. And I feel very similarly to the animal kingdom and especially the food chain and the way it is in our aquatic world, because they are part of what keeps our oceans alive, these manatees, these animals.
Yes.
And it is Manatee Awareness Month, so I don't want to go off on a side tangent here. But you all are lucky I didn't spend the whole show yesterday on this subject, because things have gotten way, way too dang far. I don't know anybody saw this over the weekend. Antarctic's emperor penguins at risk of extinction due to climate crisis. If this happens, you all don't want to see me like this. You never see me angry. Nobody on the airwaves in my 20-some years in radio have never seen me angry. Not once. Not even close, actually, to where my anger can get. This will push me over the edge. Am I being a little silly and overreactive? Yes. Am I overdoing it a little bit for comic effect? Yes. But don't... you can hear the tone of my voice. There's parts of me I'm not kidding on. And this one cannot happen. I'm using this as an example because I'm obviously very biased towards penguins and I love them very much. It is not about penguins. It's about this kind of stuff happening to the animal kingdom over and over.
Across the board, yes.
This is ridiculous. It's just incredibly ridiculous. Look at what happened in Brazil. And God, I hope for a peaceful transition of power over there for them.
Yes, me too.
And as great as that is for their people, it's... I don't mean to be selfish about this, but it may be better for our world. What the previous dictator was doing over there was selling the Amazon, the rainforest, just
a profit.
Mel, you got $5? You want an acre? You want? I'll do it. Go right ahead. Hey, are you a conglomerate business that wants to come here and tear down 70 to 80 acres and kill off the world's lungs? I'll help you out doing that. These things matter, and as this stuff kind of goes in, like, little by little, this piece gets in here, this piece gets there. Maybe we can make these things okay. We've got catches to these things. We can do something about them, but we've got to actually act and do something about it. We look at, and boy, this went in a different direction on me, but I don't care. You look at what happened with September 11th. You look at the COVID situation. There were signs. There were warnings, not just from our government, but from people with brains and all these things. Again, signs. climate change, manatees, penguins going extinct, all these things. How many people in their basements or in their houses have seen an influx of bugs or squirrels in your yard or these things? Mm-hmm. Because animals are hungry because there's not a food out there. And they're not going to stay where there's no borders for them. There's no, I'm not going to go into there. That's somebody's house. They don't give a dang. They're going to get their food because nature will find a way. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that are slow to the game. We're the ones that take our time. Like, maybe we should do something about that water. You know, our pipes are kind of rough. I wonder if we should look. We'll let the next generation do it.
Just kick the can down the road.
Look where we are. Mm-hmm. The animal kingdom is so much smarter than us on so many levels. Of course, idiots on other levels, too. I don't know how many of these deer have to get hit before they start realizing, maybe I should wear some orange or something like that. But it's important, all these things. And when you think, oh, manatees, what's the big deal? It's a manatee. What happens is that? That goes, so many other species go, and dries up our oceans. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't know, feels like a bad thing.
It's definitely a bad thing.
It is National Native American Heritage Month.
This is a good one to pay attention to.
Yeah, it's a beautiful one. I've talked about many times how knowledge is one of the ways we defeat hate. Mm-hmm. It's harder to hate somebody when you understand their culture, when you understand mm-hmm. who they are, why they do the things they do. This happens usually for the young, but it can happen at any age. You're never too old to learn. Mm-hmm. While I think it's very important, I think it's noteworthy, I also think it's kind of, I don't want to say an American's duty, but I would like to think that a lot of Americans would want to take this on and learn about this mm-hmm. For many, many layers of reasons. What should be not lost in the shuffle, amazing history, very interesting history, very cool history, and American history.
Yeah, and in along with the topic that we were just previously discussing, if we look at how Native culture focuses on Mother Earth mm-hmm. and on sustainable practices. They just installed a new sculpture, and I covered this yesterday. I don't know if you listened to that in the afternoon, at Lake Emily, a sculpture called The Sustainers. And it's the three sisters, which are beans, corn, and squash. Mm-hmm. And those crops grow together and help sustain each other. And many of those practices have gone by the wayside because they're not profitable.
Yeah.
And is that really what's important
to humanity?
Well, to corporations, it is. To mm-hmm. high-paying, high-level CEOs who can buy clean water and clean food.
To politicians that are in the pocket or have all these corporations in their pockets.
So you talk about us wanting to do what we can to help make change, to help keep our earth healthy. A lot of that has to do with our vote. Mm-hmm. Our vote is our voice. And we have the option to help make change and make it better. Today, it's 1 week from today that we have to get out and vote next week.
Mm-hmm. Be informed, get out there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
National Adoption Month, another good one. It's a great one. Yes. I've known a couple of people that have done the adoption thing, and I've got a couple of good friends who were adopted. All good stories, all of them. I know there aren't great. Oh, there are bad ones out there, but that's. I think about my friend Trish who was adopted and her story, and it's really amazing to me. But think about the people that adopted her too, and what it meant for them and mm-hmm. such. Such a win-win situation when it goes right, you know.
Yes.
And we don't do that nearly enough. Kind of focus on the things we get right and we do really well in society. Again, there's a lot of layers to that subject, but mm-hmm. on paper, on the essence of it, adopting a family or a family adopting a child, all that. It's kind of an interesting, unique thing that we have created in society that mm-hmm. you wouldn't really think. I don't know if on paper you would think it would work when they first came up with this. But as time goes on and you look at it, you're like, oh, this is actually a really smart way of doing things. This is actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It is World Vegan Month.
Okay.
World Vegan Month.
Yeah. Eat plants.
Yep. National Peanut Butter Lovers Month.
I love peanut butter.
Man, peanut butter's great.
Actual peanut butter, though.
Yeah.
I don't like fake peanut butter flavored things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not either. Yeah,
but
I'm with you.
Man, I put a scoop of giant scoop of peanut butter in my oatmeal this morning with my blueberries. It was delicious.
If I am craving peanut butter, there's nothing in the world that will substitute for it.
Mm-mm.
Not even like a Reese's or any of those things. It's got to be
real
peanut butter.
No, like a Nutter Butter. I mean, those are pretty good.
They are, but
nothing matches a scoop of peanut butter.
And before we go to break, wrapping up our month of, National Month of, it's Movember. There is certainly something truly magnificent about a wonderful mustache and beard. Get the beard in there, too. The mysterious something tends to lend an air of distinction and respectability to the face of its owner. It all got started in 1999 in Australia when a group of young men decided that the middle of summer was a fantastic time to grow a beard. And it all began, as many excellent ideas do, in a local pub.
Of course.
The idea quickly grew to import a group of 80 men dedicated to raising awareness for men's health issues and spreading this around the world. Mm-hmm. And keeping with the theme, mustaches of the month of mustaches were named Movember. This is something that I've been doing for years. I know many other guys that do, whether they grow their mustache out or their whole beard out or whatever. If you do shave, that's okay. You just send a, what I usually do, and at least what they suggest and everything, is to make a donation to a men's cause, a men's health issue cause. There's a gamut of them.
Yes. And to spend a month talking about men's health, that's awesome and important, because a lot of times, a lot of the men in my life and a lot of men I know don't pay enough attention to their health. They're more worried about the people around them and their families and their parents. It's also important to focus on you and to take care of yourself. You cannot pour from an empty vessel.
It's so true. And it's something that I'm I'm learning more and more about to do. And hopefully many other men are, too, because it's there's nothing I can think of more silly than getting taken out by something you could prevent.
Yes.
You know? So get checked, get a lookout, do it for the people in your life. If you don't do it for yourself, do it for your loved ones and all that. Yeah. Do it for your sports team. You know, I mean, who else is going to root crazily for them? We have a purpose, guys. We have a purpose. And it's acting crazy about sports. So who else is going to do that? Think about it. We got to act right. And also, it's very important to be there for your kids and your family and your loved ones and all that. Sports
and
team,
to feel good.
Yeah, yeah, that's part two. That's probably fifth. I'm joking. That's obviously way up top. That's important. And certainly being there for your loved ones and the rest of the world that needs you. Mm-hmm. So we'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. When we come back, we'll get into more of our National Day of.
Mm-hmm. That was National Month of. Because that was all month of.
Yeah. All that coming up for you right here on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio, 7:40 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. I already missed the Halloween bumpers. I already missed them. We were getting into our National Month of and going through a bunch of those. We're going to get into our National Day of calendar now.
All right.
For this 1st of November. Well, we got one more thing to get in. It's week, Marzipan Week.
Yeah. I was just looking this up because I'm fascinated by marzipan.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you can do with it.
It's a very unique, it's a wonderful, it works out very well for so many different things. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you can make it into different shapes and forms, and it's so cool, some of the things you've seen.
Very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And a great week to use it. You got until Monday, November 7th. Then you have to stop using it. No. National Calzone Day.
Ooh.
Oh, calzones are so good.
They are good.
If you haven't had a real calzone, and by that I mean like going to a restaurant and ordering it.
Mm-hmm.
Fast food places don't do a bad job, but restaurants, they make it like the way they're really supposed to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy on the bread. Very heavy on the bread and the crust. And as a bread lover, that is something I enjoy.
Bread is good.
It is National Deep Fried Clams Day.
I have never had a deep fried clam.
I don't think I've ever had clams, let alone deep fried. If I'm going to have clams, it'll probably be deep fried, though. To be honest. That doesn't sound bad.
I'd try it. I like. Do they bread them, or like how do you?
I'm very curious about that. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Breaded clams don't sound that great to me, but if I'm going to try clams, it'd probably be like that.
I mean clam cakes. Those are pretty good, right? And those have breading in them.
My mom loves those. Yeah. Okay. I couldn't even tell you if I've tried them.
Is there a difference between clam cakes and crab cakes?
Yeah, yes. I'm not sure.
The type of seafood that's in them. I answered my own question.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. National Vinegar Day. Now that's something I know.
Mm.
Yeah, vinegar's great. And very similar to, similar and obviously texture and everything, but marzipan is so versatile, so useful. I think of that with vinegar, too.
Mm-hmm. And like at Family Natural Foods, they have all those different flavors of vinegars.
It's incredible.
I'm excited. I have one at home I haven't tried yet. It's supposed to be really good on like grilled meats and stuff. So I'm waiting for the perfect recipe to try it on.
Oh, that's going to be good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Worth the wait. Mm-hmm. National Authors Day.
Well, that's perfect on Write Your Novel Month.
Yeah, yeah. Great way to kick off the month. I don't know many people that don't have a favorite author. If you've known the pains of raising Little Women or have ridden on a raft with Old Huck Finn, if you've read all the horrors of Stephen King and lost yourself with things too terrible to describe with Lovecraft, you enjoyed the classics that American authors can spin. Authors Day commemorates all the wonders that have been spun into the world by the pen of these creative souls, but especially those works of the American author. For many of us Homers around there, not that I got anything against any other authors around the world, but USA, USA. It was 1928, and the Illinois Women's Club was meeting yet again to enjoy the writings of some of their favorite authors. Nellie Vern Burt McPherson decided to bring up the idea of having a day dedicated to American authors and brought it up amongst her fellow club members. Nellie had spent her life as a teacher and an avid lover of literature, and one day had written a letter to Irving Bachelor while she was recovering in a hospital in World War II. She had thoroughly enjoyed Irving's story, Eden Holden's Last Day of Fishing, and was overjoyed to receive an autographed copy of the author of another story he had written. So touched by this show of appreciation by her favorite author that she determined that the only way she could properly show her appreciation was by setting aside a day to honor all American authors. And to do so, she submitted her suggestion to the General Federation of Women's Club. Her ideas did not go unheeded. And 20 years later, in 1949, the United States Department of Commerce made an official holiday, Authors Day. And it's been celebrated every year since.
Wow.
So, a couple of interesting things in there. This has always been a thing. Men not listening to women, and it takes 20 years for us to finally hear them on a good idea. That's a fantastic idea. I love that story. That's a great story to go along with.
It's got a good backstory behind it.
Do you have a favorite author?
Probably Diana Gabaldon right now is because I listen to her work all the time on audio.
That's good.
But yeah, there's a lot of amazing authors.
Yeah, there's so many. And when you think of American authors, we really, really have just an abundance. Think about how small or how little our country, the history of our country. It's not that big. We don't have that long of a history.
Right.
Where when it comes to American authors, and I mean respected around the world, it's been this way almost since the dawn of our country, where our authors have been respected around the world. Mm-hmm. And it's only grown more and more. There's a great debate about who the greatest American author is, and I think it's a fun one to have because there's no wrong answer, really.
Yeah.
There's so many names you could mention, so many different people you can bring up.
And I probably have a favorite author in each genre.
I think that's a good way to do it, look at it, yeah.
Yeah, because how could I pick one over the other? I love books, period. But then you start getting into the different genres. I don't know how you could compare a historical fiction writer to a sci-fi writer.
How do you compare Mark Twain to J.D. Salinger?
Right.
How do you compare Harper Lee to F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Mm-hmm.
Steinbeck to Bradbury? Capote to Angelou? You know, I mean, any of these.
Mm-hmm.
Just Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, we just got done celebrating him yesterday and everything. Kurt Vonnegut, Arthur Miller, Robert Frost, Emily Dickinson, Carl Sagan. I mean, just Carl Sagan, Walt Whitman. There are so many great American authors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a bad one to pick from. Mm-hmm. Have fun with all of them. Great day to read. That's what I'm getting for today. You know, especially as we're getting into the colder months. Yes, or right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's Scented Candle Day.
Good. For people who like scented candles?
Yeah.
This is your day.
What is just a, like, Can you, like how I like a just a regular coffee, mm-hmm. can you order just a regular candle? What does a regular candle
vanilla.
Smell like? Yeah. Is it, would it just be vanilla, basically?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I never really thought about it. I don't care if I sound stupid right now. I'm just asking.
That's the original scented candle, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wonder. Extra Mile Day. Man, it's a good one. Extra Mile America is a nonprofit organization that helps empower people and organizations as well as cities, inspiring them to go the extra mile. The Extra Mile Foundation was created in 2009 by Sean Anderson, who said, "Our work is inspired by the belief that going the extra mile opens doors to new possibilities." There are many people I know that go the above and beyond, and a big thank you to all of them. Thank you to all of our nonprofits to do this, because I can't think of one in our area that doesn't do that.
Yeah,
we got a lot of really, great people that do these things. All right, and let's see. It is National Cook for Your Pets Day.
A lot of people do this, actually.
Yeah.
I used to dog sit for my former chiropractor in exchange for chiropractic care. It was kind of nice, bartering
system.
That's
a great idea, yeah.
But yeah, I dog sit for her, and I had to cook for her pets because they would get a little bit of kibble, but then they'd also get like chicken gizzards and vegetables. So it'd be a combination of those things.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got a story to go along with this in a little bit later, so we'll go do that more later. But it's also National Cinnamon Day.
Good for those who like cinnamon.
I love cinnamon. Cinnamon's great, especially on French toast.
I like cinnamon toothpaste.
I know some people that like that's good stuff. I've had that before. And it's World Vegan Day.
Mm-hmm.
Cook tasty plant-based meals, attend events organized by local vegan societies, and enjoy a lifestyle free from animal products on World Vegan Day.
There's a lot of good plant foods out there, and I'm like, want to eat what's on your screen right now. That
looks
amazing.
Yeah. I'm becoming more and more to enjoy those kind of foods.
Mm-hmm.
In part because there's just so many flavors. There's so much to enjoy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea. I like variety in almost anything that we're talking about. And and these kind of meals, like the one that's in front of us, Melissa, I don't know enough to know what it looks like or what it is.
That looks like a vegan lasagna almost, and a salad.
There's so many, just like a lot of variety of flavors.
And colors.
Colors, yeah. And,
yeah.
Having
a visually appealing food is awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, I never even thought about that, to be honest with you.
Well, the first step of digestion is when you salivate.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, when your saliva glands start going, that wakes up your digestive system.
It makes sense. I just had never heard that before. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right, well, we'll go ahead and wrap up on that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and get into some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, everyone. 7:55 on the clock. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. A little reminder that in 8 o'clock hour, we're getting the Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Melissa's going to pull the winner for October.
Woo-hoo.
9 o'clock hour, Good Stories, Then I Write Stories, and we're welcoming in Santa.
Oh, right.
We've got Santa coming in today, everybody.
Cool.
I cannot wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. Don't want to brag. Bit of a get. You know, not easy to get Santa and everything.
Well, it is pretty early in the season. We were lucky.
We got the good time. We picked a good time to get him in.
Plus, I think you and I both made it on the good list this year.
I'm hoping.
We must have, obviously.
It's right. I'm right on the cusp. I'm right on the edge there. I'm just riding that line. Today is, we just mentioned a previous segment, National Cook for Your Pets Day. So I thought this was fitting, and it comes from, this article comes to us from the Associated Press. At San Francisco restaurant, pups chow on filet mignon.
Whoa.
San Francisco is a foodie haven with plenty of Michelin-starred restaurants, and San Franciscans love their dogs. So it might come as no surprise that an entrepreneur has decided to combine the two passions, creating what's believed to be the first restaurant exclusively for man's best friend. Doju, D-O-G-U-E, which rhymes with Doja, which rhymes with Vogue, opened last month in the city's trendy Mission District. For $75 per pup, doggy dinners get a multiple course bon appetit meal featuring dishes like chicken skin, waffles, and filet mignon steak tartare with a quill egg. In one meal, these dogs have eaten better than ever I ever have possibly.
Right?
Possibly. Some critics have expressed online outrage over the price point for the pampering pets, pointing out income inadequacies, gentrification, and homelessness in the city for the cost of the tasting menu. Hmm. You could buy at least 5 big burritos at one of the many nearby taquerias in the Mission neighborhood.
Wow.
I think it needs to be noted, your dog doesn't care.
No,
your dog does not
probably
care.
Not.
Think about the things your dog eats. Like, think about that, everybody. Yeah, I don't think the dog cares that much. Mm-hmm. Just be honest about this and that you want to do this. Like, you want to pamper your dog. You want to spoil your dog. You want to look keep up with the Joneses, whatever it is. I'm not going to say that a local business should go out or doing something.
Because wrong. It's not like they're forcing anybody to go there.
Right. I also see the other side of that, too, where some of the critics have been saying and everything. Yeah. But I've never understood the idea. I don't get mad at the top 1% because they're rich. Like, more power to you, man. You worked hard. Most of them worked hard for it. They had a great idea or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't hate Jeff Bezos. I don't hate the guy. He did something pretty incredible. He did something that every American dreams to do, pretty much. Starting in your garage and turning it into a multi-conglomerate. It's what you do when you get power. It's what you do when you have money mm-hmm. that I have an issue with. You want to spend a ton of money on your dog? Go right ahead, man. More power to you. It's your money. Do whatever you want. Mm. You want to spend money to get a rocket to not even get you to the moon, to just get you into like the atmosphere of space, just so you can say to your little buddies and everything that I went to space. Some of these things are a little ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. I think there's plenty of people out there that could say the opposite. Say that, you know, well, he wanted to get to space. This was a dream. Feeding your dogs expensive meals. That seems silly. And I don't disagree with any of that.
I think everybody's entitled to their opinions.
Yeah, yeah. I spent a lot of time in San Francisco when I was out there, and it was one of the first places I noticed that was very dog friendly. But I thought they could get away with it because they had the money out there to be so dog centric, dog friendly, and all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I don't have any issue with it. It's just, what are you doing with your power? What are you doing with the money when you have it?
Yeah, and I don't think this is as much a danger to people in their spending pockets as much as, like, people overspending on the Powerball
True.
Tickets.
Yeah,
you know,
see,
that's something to be more concerned about.
Another one, too. How about with all this talk of money and all that,
Let's talk about giving some away.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
So we are doing the New Year Day Green Bay giveaway.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been hearing our promos on our station. Mm-hmm. This is 2 tickets to the January 1st game between the Packers and the Vikings, and these are club tickets. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds amazing.
They're nice. They're nice.
So you register at Dropbox locations for your chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location, and you can register one time at each location. So they are out now. Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. You have until November 28th, and the winner will be announced on November 30th. Mm. So remember, one registration per person per location, but that means you can register 4 times.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
have to visit these businesses.
Yep. Make sure to do that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about this a little later on. Thank you for that, Mel. We'll take a quick break, come back with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, and we're going to have 5 things to look forward to in November, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club, and plenty more coming up here at WFHR.